All right, welcome back in. Hour number two is Diesel and I are in studio on this Thursday. We go to the guest line for the first time today. It's our buddy Scott Kiefer with the Greenville News. He is 29 years old. Oh, excuse me. As 29 years as a sports writer for the Greenville News, and hope you're doing well, buddy.
I thought you were going to throw me a bone there, Sturge. 29 years old. Yeah, I'm pushing 30 now.
The oldest 29-year-old I've ever met. But you know what? That doesn't stop us when we're in places like Arizona and things like that. You know what I mean?
No, it does not.
Hey, Scott, before we get started, Clemson got bowl practice begun yesterday. You are, and since you put it on your Twitter profile, so anybody has to, when they get upset with anything you write with the Greenville News, they can see it. But you're a proud 1985 NC State graduate. You know, we know the story of Debo Samuel, and I completely understand Debo sitting out the bowl game based on his history of injuries. But for me, NC State, Texas A&M, and the Gator Bowls, one of the bigger games that NC State's had in the postseason in a while, and they may have been affected the most by players deciding, hey, I'm going to go get ready for the draft. Do you like it for as an NC State grad? Because, again, a Gator Bowl against Texas A&M, that's pretty high up there for NC State football.
It is pretty high up there. It would give them a 10-win season, which,
yes,
is, you know, they don't come along that often in Raleigh. So, you know, it kind of pains me to say it, but, I mean, you want to put your best foot forward when mm-hmm. you're in a position like that. And, look, they've got some, you know, like last year, they've got some NFL talent on that team, and you hate to see them go into a game against a very good Texas A&M team shorthanded. I mean, losing the top two receivers are going to sit out.
Yep,
and
a linebacker
as well. Oh, man. You know, those are both surefire NFL guys, and I don't know that they can I don't know if they're deep enough to compensate for those three losses.
Yeah, I'm with you, and especially when you couple in Eli Drinkwitz, greatest name in college football nobody had heard of till earlier today when he takes the right. At State job. Again, I hate it for that fan base. I get it for the kids. You and I, we chose this business. You know what I mean? You're just a little right. bit north of fuddy-duddy than I am because you graduated from college before I did. But you know, that's a big game for NC State. And being three players down, I'm sorry, you are not going in with the same team that you played with during the year.
No, and you really hate that because, particularly at NC State, the fan base is they are hungry for football
yes.
success there. You know, it's kind of a place where they've, you know, been lying in wait, you know, and they keep turning out year after year. They show up for games. They've got improved and new facilities. And they're just dying for a winner, and they deserve more than that. So yeah, it kind of pains me a little bit to see the guys sitting out like this. And unfortunately, I think it's a growing trend throughout college football, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Until somebody, and you know, there's always a first for something, like you being the most talented sports writer out of NC State. You know what I mean? But sooner or later, we're gonna have a guy skip a semifinal game, and I think that's gonna be the one that changes it.
There you go. Yeah. When we see that, I think that then we'll see some movement, right?
Yep.
Gee whiz.
Well, listen, can Clemson have written a check? I mean, granted, some of the national awards went to other players, but when you see Dabo Swinney, you know, mid-court at the Lakers game last week and this, that, and the other, you know, they started bowl practice yesterday, but it's all about publicity as well. And this, I mean, can Clemson write a check for the amount of publicity that they've gotten here since the ACC championship game?
No, it's really been unbelievable. I mean, just unprecedented. You know, in the past few years, I thought, you know, boy, this is very valuable airtime they're getting, and Dabo's face is everywhere here and there. But I think he surpassed even the previous few years mm-hmm. this time around. And he told us yesterday, he said, man, I've gotten some serious airtime traveling to the West Coast and traveling here and there between recruiting and award shows. I think he's been up in the air, you know, every day mm-hmm. since the ACC championship game. So, you know, fortunately, Dabo's still young enough and energetic enough that he embraces that. So he said he's gotten a lot of work done and
yeah.
actually feels better at this point going into the postseason than he has in any previous year. So apparently he's been toiling away while aloft.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, because, some people would say, bowl games, I think all four teams are motivated in the college football playoff. But Saturday, you look at it and go, it's a question of who's got the most motivation, not necessarily who's the best team. You know what I mean? And Dabo has said, hey, being up there in the air, it's great. You can put everything on a USB cartridge, pop it into your, into your MacBook or whatever you have. And guess what? That's quiet time up there in the air. And he says he's really taking advantage of it.
No question. And as he reiterated yesterday, he said, I've had plenty of time to look at Notre Dame. He's watched Notre Dame constantly and has learned a lot. It's paying off for him. The other thing that I think is really going to pay off for Clemson is, if you look at their lineup, they've got a lot of veterans on this team. So when they're out there on those practice fields in preparation for the bowl, it's almost like they have 20 assistant coaches out there, because, Christian Wilkins is almost like an assistant. Cleveland Farrell is almost like an assistant. They're doting on these younger, talented freshmen and sophomores and pointing them in the right direction, telling them what they should and shouldn't do. It's a real benefit to have so many guys who came back for this final run, and I think it's going to pay off.
Yeah, and as we continue with Scott Kiefer, again, with the Greenville News, you can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Kiefer. That's KEEPFER. And also, what about Trevor Lawrence? You're starting a very quiet guy, but you're seeing leadership by example. And by that, I mean, I go back to the first play of the ACC championship game when Travis Etienne breaks that 75-yard run. Who was down at the 10-yard line looking to hit somebody as a block was Trevor Lawrence. So that's why I think they've got the best of both worlds. They have a guy that, let's be honest with Scott, even though his dad wasn't up in his face about it, Trevor Lawrence has been groomed for this position.
Yeah, he has. And I think if they were honest with you, I think all the coaches kind of knew it last spring. I mean, it was just kind of a matter of time. And he has jumped in there. And the good thing about him is he's maintained a humble attitude throughout.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of taken each step as it comes and navigated thoroughly through this whole process. And you can't help but be impressed by the kid. I mean, he's – and I think it also benefits him that he is so laid back. I mean, he's, a la Deshaun Watson, very comfortable in any situation,
mm-hmm.
doesn't let bad plays bother him, although he's had so very few bad plays. I was just looking at his numbers. I mean, 24 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 2,600 yards. I thought he might be good as a freshman. I didn't know he'd be quite this good. So it's going to be interesting to see him and the Notre Dame quarterback, who kind of have similar numbers.
Yeah.
And ironically, both came into the lineup about the fifth game of the season. They really have turned those teams into title contenders here.
Scott, and that's something I was going to mention. You look at these two teams. First of all, I know the Clemson fan base is excited to be in Dallas. I mean, you want to talk about first world problems when you go, I'm not really interested in going back to South Florida for another Orange Bowl. Boy, that's first world football problems. But, it goes to show you don't have to be the same person to come to the same conclusion. Brian Kelly was completely uncomfortable on that college football playoff show last Sunday. Dabo Swinney, he's got a straw hat on and, cowboy boots and everything else. But both of their seasons – really took a turn, if you will, with making a hard decision, which is changing the quarterback.
No question. That's what it all boiled down to. And, when you look back on it, that's what determined each of their fates this season. And they were tough choices because, Winbush at Notre Dame played every game last mm-hmm. year and was the team's leading rusher, for goodness sake. And then you had Kelly Bryant at Clemson, who – some were mentioning at the end of last season that he was a potential Heisman contender this coming year. So you had two proven commodities, and yet, the coaches saw some of these younger guys who have since shown that the coaches made the right decision. I love the way you said, Dabo's in his comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Like,
he's been at this for a while now, and putting on that cowboy hat at the announcement, Brian Kelly has not been there that often, at least with Notre Dame. That may change in the near future, but for now, Dabo's kind of like the old grizzled veteran when it comes to playoff football now.
unbelievable. I know. I mean, think about what we were all discussing when we walked out of the press box at the Meineke Car Care Bowl after that loss at South Florida. You know, pinning a little bit of hopes on what you saw in the last 8 minutes, which was Taj Boyd come in and now go look at things now. And it seems like it's just happened right there in front of a blink of our eye. But Scott, you and Manny Robinson and everybody over at the Greenville News, you do a great job. But one of the best storylines in all of college athletics this year is taking place about 10 miles north of your building. Furman University, we were talking about publicity. Oh, my goodness. I mean, think about how good the Southern Conference basketball is here in the upstate right now between number 23 ranked and undefeated Furman and a damn good Wofford team up here at the Richardson Indoor Stadium.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And I embrace it. I love to see it. I love to see what's unfolding. You know, Furman kind of served notice early by knocking off Loyola and then who they follow up with?
Villanova.
Villanova. I mean, when you do stuff like that, people take notice. And the coach out there has really done a good job of kind of keeping them level-headed and grounded. And who knows how far these teams could go. Yeah, and Wofford, I mean, look, Clemson better be glad they're not playing either of those teams this year.
Yeah, I mean, you got a Fletcher McGee, who was the preseason player of the year at Wofford, who just scored his 2,000 point. And, you know, it is just absolutely next level. All right, so tell me, when are you guys planning on getting out there to Dallas? Because between you and Manny Robinson and Bart Boatwright, God forbid there's no trouble out there at Jerry World here over the holidays.
No, it's going to be fun. Now, Bart, being our photographer, will get out there a day or two before the rest of us. He's going to, you know, to chronicle the team's arrival and whatnot on day one.
No, he's not. He's out there to spread the red carpet for you and Manny Robinson when you show up. You know it.
He can do that, too. Okay. Right? Yeah. I don't think any of us will be as well appointed as Ray McLeod was last year getting off the plane in New Orleans, but we'll do our best. But, yeah, we'll send Bart out first, and then I'll be flying out the morning after Christmas, and we'll hit the ground running out there.
All right. Any expectations? You know, this is the way we do things. We move around the media schedule and then try to figure out where we want to go eat to cross off the list. So between you and Manny, have y'all already been figuring out where you're going for a steak or anything along that line?
I have not, but I've assigned him that duty. So I hope when I check with him in a couple days, he'll have a itinerary plan for it.
Well, I've got a little area. I flew out there for I don't know if you remember DT from the opening drive back in the day, but he got married in Dallas, and I had some friends come pick me up after the rehearsal dinner and take me out, and there's some really cool areas of Dallas I need to hit you up with. So, listen, I'm going to be jealous of you and Manny, but you guys as well as Bart Boatwright, I mean, you don't do it any better when it comes to the Clemson coverage.
I appreciate that. Please give us some tips. Can you show us around a little bit or something?
I will not be able to make the trip, brother. You know what? Here's the deal. I would upset two fan bases if I changed my routine at this point. My recliner is responsible for Clemson reaching 13-0 as well as Alabama reaching 13-0. I haven't made a bad decision in that recliner all year, you know, due to the shoulder and the neck thing. So I could go to Dallas and cover that game. And if Clemson loses, guess what? Everybody's going to blame it that I blew my routine. So I will be sitting here in studio doing Ingalls College football today on 1229.
Not a bad gig. And enjoy your recliner, too, buddy.
All right, Scott.
Just text me some information.
I certainly will. Scott, thanks for everything. Happy holidays to you and your family, and thanks for everything you do.
Same to you, bud.
All right, Scott Keeper with the Greenville News. Simply just give him a follow on Twitter. His last name is K-E-E-P-F-E-R. All right, we've got open phones when we come back. At 5:37, put your thinking cap on. We got a bowl game edition of the Hank's 12-pack of knowledge contest. And listen, you basically, on five of the questions, have a 50-50 chance of getting it right. That's at 5:37. But open phones when we come back. We'll catch you up with a lot more from the world of college football. And guess what? There is a new favorite for Bryce Harper when it comes to the Major League Baseball hot stove season. We were finishing up there with some college basketball with Scott Kiefer. Don't forget, here on ESPN Upstate tomorrow, beginning at 2:30, you can hear Clemson Tiger basketball. They're 6-3 on the year. They host Radford tomorrow at 3 p.m. And then on Tuesday, we will get off at 6:30 because the Tigers host Charleston Southern in a home game before they go to Columbia for their final game before Christmas. They will take on South Carolina a week from Saturday at 2 p.m. Also here in the upstate tomorrow, 4 p.m., those undefeated Furman Paladins, ranked number 23 in the country. They are taking on UNC Wilmington. That's a 4 p.m. contest. And listen, things can make a difference, Diesel. You went out there the first year Nico Medved was hired when he came in from Colorado State at Timmins Arena. You could hear a quarter drop, literally. You were getting your change back at the concession stand, and it dropped. You could hear it. That's an event in its own right now for Furman Paladin basketball with the football team in there. East Tennessee State put out a video the other day to their student body and their fan base going, here's how you should act at a basketball game. And it was a video of Furman versus Charleston Southern the other night. So go check out that undefeated Furman team. Also, the Wofford Terriers have a 7 p.m. tip-off with UNC Asheville tomorrow. But, Diesel, it was just a matter of time. Does a certain coach in Tuscaloosa have enough cash in the bank to overcome this one because he's taking a beatdown for it? It surfaced here in the last 24 hours. What did you literally think the next move for DJ Durkin was going to be? The fired head coach at Maryland after all that. Where do coaches go to reestablish their credibility and go wipe the past clean so they can get another chance? Because at that point, they become part of the Nick Saban coaching tree.
Yeah, is he getting a job on the Alabama staff?
He is a consultant on the Alabama staff. He's not going to be hired as a position coach or anything else.
So Alabama is the land of misfit coaches.
Nick Saban's getting squashed by some people for this. You know, is this not really the only move DJ Durkin can make right now other than go away?
Yeah, he'd have to sit back for a couple of years, let the heat die down. It would still kick back up when he came back. But I'm honestly I'm surprised and I'm impressed with Nick Saban in that he's gaining a reputation as the place – his program is the place where coaches who have been fired go to rehabilitate their careers. So it's amazing to me that he's had so few issues. Something that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head. Any kind of glaring issue whatsoever with any of these guys? I haven't heard a thing.
The worst thing probably was some Tennessee fans got really, really ticked off at Butch Jones for having a picture on Twitter with a cigar in the Alabama locker room.
But he works for Alabama now. Screw you, Tennessee fans who are upset about this.
But I get it. You fired him. But there were a lot of them upset. How dare you recruited that team to the other sideline? You know, blah, blah, blah.
You didn't want him there. He's not your employee. He's not your school's employee anymore. He doesn't owe you anything. Shut up.
Here's the reality. DJ Durkin, I would not let my son play for him after the mistake that he made. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it wasn't all his mistake, but he was the head coach. And at times you as the head man, even in your family, you got to fall on the sword. And he got what was coming to him. He got fired. But the reality is he doesn't need to be banished for the rest of his life. Right now,
consider the fact that he's dedicated his entire life to this profession. How old is DJ Durkin?
43, something in that area.
And I don't know how much money he's got in the bank.
He's got a few million, I'm sure.
But still, this is what he does. This is what he knows. So to deny someone their chosen career path forever, to try to ban them forever, it's not right.
You don't put them on the field as a position coach. You don't put them in an airplane to go recruit anybody. But you know what I mean? DJ Durkin needs that probably as much as anything else. And the one guy that I think, now there's a couple. Dabo Swinney could go make a move like this, and I don't think anybody'd really question it. Urban Meyer made this move. We all would have maybe raised our eyebrow because he had other issues that were going on. But this is a best-case scenario for DJ Durkin. Why, you're just another guy. You know what I mean? It's worked out for Butch Jones. It's worked out for Mike Locksley. It worked out for Lane Kiffin. Hey, what's the one thing that Nick Saban is getting when this happens?
He's getting a head coach on his roster.
He's getting a quality coach that knows what they're doing. They don't get the Maryland job as Michigan defensive coordinator by being stupid. Now, he may have had a stupid action that cost him his job at Maryland, but I think this is probably the one place. I mean, you can go call it the Bama car wash. You know what I mean? It's head coaches putting their $5 in here, and they're moving on down through there and getting washed off. And, hey, listen, right now, go look at – you know, we thought App State this morning was announcing an Alabama assistant coach. Why? Because everybody wants somebody with that Nick Saban pedigree right now. You know what I mean? That's why I think what's going on at Clemson is absolutely amazing. That staff is remaining intact. There is a whole heck of a lot to be said for that. But there's also a whole lot to be said for this is just part of what Nick Saban is and what he does. He's going to have his fourth different offensive coordinator this year. If that was another school, say up on Tobacco Road, we'd be saying that's a problematic deal because there's no consistency. You know what I mean? So not all the parts necessarily are the same for everyone else, but DJ Durkin is now a consultant. And some people are killing Nick Saban for it. And you know what? I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares because I also think he realizes he's getting a quality input from somebody that knows the game. But number two, I think he also knows, hey, some, you know, people make mistakes. Football coaches make mistakes all the time. You just don't want to be like Bobby Petrino or something. Listen, some news from South Carolina, and it's the right move. Gamecocks are trying to get DJ Wonnum another year of eligibility. They are applying for a red shirt for him. Remember, he missed the majority of the year. So that would be a good move for South Carolina because his younger brother there on the offensive line has been one of the best things that happened to Gamecock football this year. So DJ Wonnum, it was his junior season. Hopefully next year you'll have a little bit of deja vu and he will have a second consecutive junior season. Gamecocks getting prepared for that Belt Bowl matchup on December 29th up in Charlotte. And, of course, they're going to be a little bit shorthanded, understanding a couple other starters on defense maybe have been ruled out. So, motivation. That's why I say you can go look at the lines and everything else when it comes to these football games here over the next couple of months. But the reality is just simply – which team is motivated to be there, that's the one you should probably be betting on. So, looking for another season is they're going to be applying for a medical red shirt for DJ Wonnum. All right, here's the deal. When we come back, you've been hearing some bowl talk around here. Are you confident enough in your ability to get on the air with us? Here's the deal. It's our Haints Beverages 12-pack of knowledge contest. You are already a winner by just playing the game. And here's why. You got six Haints beverages sitting in a box ready to be shipped out to you. We're going to ask you six questions. Each one you get right, they're going to pop another Haints beverage in there. And you're going to be a winner before Christmas ever gets here because they'll be here by the end of next week. That's something you could be sharing with your family over the holidays. They've got root beer. They've got diet root beer, birch beer, black and cherry soda. My favorite is the grape soda, no doubt. Orange cream soda, vanilla cream soda. You cannot go wrong. HanksBeverages.net. But you're going to be a winner when we come back.
Also, Sturz, the thing about this is nobody down here has it yet. The stores don't have it, but they're going to. So you can be the first one to try Hank's Beverages. 844-GSP-ESPN. Get into the game.
Yeah. So, Diesel, before we bring Kip up for the 12-pack of knowledge contest, let me ask you. They say it's better to give than receive during the holidays. Do you buy that?
No, I love to receive.
I do too. Well, Kip, I promise you this much. You're going to receive a box in the mail or via UPS probably by the end of next week, and it's going to contain some Hank's beverages in it. So Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from ESPN Upstate. You're already a winner.
All right, thanks.
All right, so I have handwritten out six questions. They are postseason questions. Five are pertaining to bowl games, and one would pertain to an all-star game. Are you ready to give these an attempt?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, here we go, Diesel. First question. Was there a bowl game played at the old New Jersey Meadowlands back in the late 1970s called the Garden State Bowl?
I'm going to say true.
Yes, they played 4 years from 1978 to 1981. So you're one for one. Question number two. Was there a bowl game played in Fresno, California in the 80s and 90s named the California Raisin Bowl?
I'm going to go true with that one too.
Correct. It was played from 1981 to 1991. Kind of got started as the smaller school bowl championship and progressed from there. All right, Kip. He's from Welford, South Carolina. Question number three. The Big Four bowl games are known as the Rose, Sugar, Cotton, and Orange. Was the Gator Bowl the fifth bowl game back in the day?
False.
You are correct. It was actually the Sun Bowl that was started in 1935 in El Paso, Texas. And what I don't get, Kip, they started the same year as the Orange Bowl, but the Orange gets all the credit as the Big Four. All right, the fourth question. This is pertaining to this year's bowl season. Is Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry the current sponsor of the Boca Raton Bowl?
True.
You are correct. Question number five. Was there a bowl game in Toronto from 2007 to 2010 named the Maple Bowl?
False.
You are correct. It was called the International Bowl, and Diesel doesn't even remember it. But, Kip, if you remember a game with Rutgers playing in there, there was a hotel built into the end of the stadium. They called a man and a woman having sex on the bed in there. That's why that one came about. All right, final question. Depending on your age, I bet you'll know this. Can you name the All-Star game played on Christmas Day in Montgomery, Alabama from the years 1939 to 2001?
I just have to go with Senior Bowl.
Well, it's the Blue-Gray Classic, and it came on after we had opened gifts, so you were tired of your family at that point, and you were watching guys that weren't playing in bowl games. But, Kip, we appreciate you listening. I will send this information up to Hank's Beverages in Philadelphia, and listen, you are going to get a great gift pack from them, and we really appreciate you listening to Straight Up with Sturge. All right, that was awesome, man. Next week, I've got a different one. We're already in the plans. Diesel is going to be out on vacation next week. You know, it kind of sucks when you get a week's vacation to recover from a trip to New Orleans for a bowl game on Saturday night. Diesel, if you're going to do it right. And that's what I call doing it right.
Well, if you do New Orleans right, you need a week to recover.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, one of the – we've been on cruises two straight years. Quite frankly, when you get home from a cruise, you need a week to recover because you're still rocking back and forth and everything else. But, Kip, we really appreciate you getting in with us, and thanks to our friends at Hank's Beverages. And as you mentioned, Diesel, right now you cannot go to a store and get Hank's Beverages here in the upstate, but starting in 2019, they're going to be in Ingles grocery stores all over. So if you like root beer, if you like vanilla, if you like the old classic flavors of soda, go to hanksbeverages.net or give them a follow on Twitter at Hank's Beverages. All right, man, I love. Dude, it's fun to give something away for Christmas, you know what I mean? Because there's one somebody will enjoy for more than just 5 minutes. That's like we were trying to tell yesterday, David Hood from TigerNet, they have four and a half months now. Don't go spend a bunch of money on that child for Christmas this year. Buy him balled up paper and let him go play with it. That's like our kitten. He's what? 11 weeks old now. He is just wad something up and throw it on the floor. Don't go up to the animal store and buy him anything. He'd rather play with a balled up, cloth or something like that. No doubt about it. All right, so here's the deal. At the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we are going to have our buddy Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald join us. Right behind that, we're going to talk ACC basketball to end the year with our buddy Brant Wilkerson of the Greensboro News Record.
Sturge, if Michael Jordan, arguably the second greatest basketball player of all time, clocks you on the back of the head, do you consider yourself touched by greatness or do you complain to the NBA? He's after LeBron. Everyone knows that. He's after LeBron.
Thank you for clarifying.
He's the second
there.
GOAT.
You referring to last night at the end of the bench, at the end of the game, Kemba Walker passes the ball. Another dude hits a three-pointer. The Hornets win, and a technical foul gets called on them because one of their players was about the top of the key before the ball ever goes through the hoop. So technically, it was illegal participation. What did Michael Jordan do to the guy?
Popped him on the back of the head twice. Not once, but twice.
I say you're touched by greatness.
Yeah. I mean, how stupid can you be? I get that the Hornets aren't very good, so you got to celebrate the wins when you get them. But come on, man.
How about this? I mean, what was that old show back in the day, Touched by an Angel? I mean, what would the Bulls players be doing? I guess they'd be having a public protest in downtown Chicago right now. How dare you, Tut? Who are you? You're nobody. And I liked your point earlier. At least he didn't have all 7 of his rings on.
You know what I mean?
That would have been.
That's about 27 pounds worth of hardware strapped to his hand.
Exactly. So, I thought it was funny. He lost it for a moment there as well. He was enjoying it. But, you can't have that moment where you go run out on the court before the game's over. You got to give the officials credit. They went over to the sideline and viewed it, and it was. And all it did was affect the gamblers because there is not a three-point shot, for a technical foul. Best case scenario is 2 shots, but it was interesting. Now, Diesel, you know, we're huge NBA fans right now, especially till the Super Bowl's done in what, March? Something like that? It's February. We're not stupid. Is it a cause of concern for the Golden State Warriors at this point that they go on the road and they get hammered? They lose by 20 points to the Toronto Raptors last night. Or is this all window dressing till we get to the playoffs? Because, Golden State is supposed to win their 4th championship in 5 years going away. But again, I think it's a matter of motivation at this point. It's not about what they do on the floor anymore. Have you noticed? It's about Kevin Durant saying, I don't want to play with LeBron and the drama around it. Or what's it been the last 48 hours on social media and in the media with one of their players? Have you seen that and kept up with it? Steph Curry doubted the NASA moon landings, and it became a big story here in the last couple of hours to where NASA has now invited Steph Curry into their facility in Houston the next time they come to play the Rockets.
I mean, he said he was clearly joking.
Oh, I get it. Dude, we're getting trolled left and right, man. I mean, the L.A. Chargers did it as well as anybody this morning when, Stephen A. Smith, we were talking about, just completely butchering his bit on television this morning. Next thing we know, the L.A. Chargers, they are ruling players out tonight that haven't put on the Bolt in 20 years. Dan Fouts, Kellen Winslow, Charlie Joyner, Danian Tomlinson, things of that nature. But my point being, have they gotten to the point where we're more interested in this kind of stuff off the court with the Golden State Warriors than we are with their production on the court? Because we saw a few years ago, it doesn't matter about wins and losses. They went after the regular season record. They got it, but they didn't win the championship. So nobody's ever going to really remember that. This year, they wouldn't even be anywhere close to being in contention for the all-time best regular season. So my thing is I'm kind of wondering, it's almost like what we talked about during one of the breaks earlier about Scott Satterfield. You knew the breakup was coming at some point. You just didn't know when. It feels like this has to be the last year of the Golden State Warriors in this uniform. You know what I mean? People are going to have to go elsewhere. I don't think they can fit all these egos in the locker room anymore. Going to be interesting, but you know what? It's one thing. We hadn't talked a whole lot of NBA yet, but we thanks to the Chicago Bulls, because I am telling you, I would I'd be there booing that team next home game after what those players had pulled under their new coach, Jim Boylan. And that's it. It's not about the coaches and being that. It's about what the players are going to allow. And to me, that's problematic moving forward. So, again, you got great NFL action tonight. Here's the deal. If you're a gambler, I get nothing applies to Thursday night games. Go with the home team, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. Technically, they're playing on the same night at the same time, but it's a shorter week for the road team. Number two, sunny LA, Southern California. If the smog's not too bad, the only place with better weather in the state of California any given time is San Diego. So you telling me that even with old man Papa Rivers tonight and his 19 children, you telling me that a SoCo team, a Southern California team's going to go play and be successful in Kansas City tonight in 30-degree weather without any running backs? Now, granted, Melvin Gordon's not going to play. He's actually listed as doubtful. Their other running back's not going to play. They have a rookie, Josh Jackson, who's going to play. And then they have promoted, the Chargers have, a running back from their practice squad. So you go look at these Thursday night games, and they typically are a lot lower scoring than we assume. No more so than what we saw on Thanksgiving night with a 13-10 Dallas win over the Saints. You could not have convinced me on Tuesday that there would be 23 total points put up in that Saints-Dallas game. But that's what happens on a short week. So do you really think the LA Chargers, who have won, I mean, stop and think about this. Kansas City has won two games in a row. They're 11-2. The Chargers have won three games in a row. They're 10-3. On a short week, traveling halfway across the country, going from warm weather into the colder weather in Kansas City, does this not have Kansas City Chiefs written all over it tonight, Diesel? Because Patrick Mahomes, all he's been doing is just leading them to wins. And number two, Kansas City 6-0 at home on the year.
I don't see any signs of slowing down for the Kansas City Chiefs. They take this one away.
The best thing about it for L.A., the Chargers, they're 5-1 on the road this year. They're actually 5-2 in their little mini stadium that's actually built for soccer. But they play their best games on the road this year. But I just think you're down too much with Melvin Gordon running back and everything else, and you're playing a rookie and you just promoted somebody. Listen, Kansas City, I think, will get after him, no doubt about it. So when it comes to the NFC South this weekend, we were mentioning the Chiefs. Here it is. The NFC South, the New Orleans Saints are 11-2. They've already clinched. They have a five-game lead on the Carolina Panthers with three to go. So the Panthers are right now, they have to be perfect. They've got to go 3-0 to have any chance to find themselves in the final wild card position, and I don't see it happening. Two of the final three games are against the New Orleans Saints, and one is this week on Monday night. Now, as Diesel said earlier this week, it would be so Cam Newton in the Carolina Panthers to throw 52 up on the board on Monday night. But, you know, that's it. I mean, it is now over. It is New Orleans division. You also in the NFC South at 1 p.m. on Sunday, you have Tampa Bay at the Baltimore Ravens. And, oh, yeah, for the first time in 11 years, Joe Flacco of the Baltimore Ravens will be a backup quarterback when healthy. Coach Harbaugh has already announced that Lamar Jackson, the former Louisville Cardinal quarterback. He will be making the start for the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. Also at 1 p.m. on Sunday in the NFC South, you have the Arizona Cardinals at the Atlanta Falcons. And I tell you what, I mean, year to year, you just don't know what's going to happen in the NFL. You stop and look. You know, the Eagles are two games behind the Cowboys in the NFC East. They are your returning Super Bowl champion. They played the Atlanta Falcons in last year's NFC Championship game. Atlanta is in last place in the NFC South at 4-9, having lost five consecutive ball games. All right. Then you go look at last year's teams in the AFC Championship game. Of course, the New England Patriots, they lost last week at Miami, but as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are there, they're going to be good. They're 9-4. They lead their division by two games. But Diesel, the mouthy Jacksonville Jaguars were the New England Patriots' opponent in last year's AFC Championship game. This year, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 4-9 on the year. So stop and think about that. Three of the four teams that were in the championship games last year, AFC and NFC championship games at the NFL level, they have losing records the following season. That's one of the things that fascinates me about the NFL. All right, when we come back, we'll have a busy hour. We've got our buddy Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal. First question's got to be, how bad was that final play in Miami last week? A stab in the heart to the diehard New England Patriots fan. Also, we're going to talk ACC basketball with Brent Wilkerson of the Greensboro News Record at 6:20. After that, we'll have two segments of open phones, including some bowl traditions. Again, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, they're home tonight, but we want you out there tomorrow night for the Teddy Bear Toss. Listen, great prices at swamprabbits.com. Please bring a stuffed animal. When the Swamp Rabbits score the first goal, you can throw it on the ice. It's for Toys for Tots, and they're going to make sure those teddy bears and stuffed animals end up in the hands of some children that need it on Christmas Day, as we're only 12 days away.